So Dr. Lammers received her medical degree from the School of Medicine in Montevideo, Uruguay, and her MPH from the University of Minnesota. She was an associate professor of obstetrics in Uruguay and worked internationally in the area of maternal and child health within the Pan American Health Organization before coming to South Dakota. She currently is associate professor of health sciences at the College of Nursing, and her public health research focus is on women's sexual and reproductive health. So the other plug I want to make before people start to head out is please make sure you have signed in on one of the two sign-in sheets. So one is up here, and I can throw it back out because I know some people have joined after the beginning of the session.
Good morning. First of all, I want to acknowledge the co-investigators in this research project and also the Office of Research and Sponsor Programs at SDSU, who funded a little bit of this research, and also the South Dakota Department of Health, director of the Community Health Service Clinics, and nursing students in the fifth semester who helped me collect the surveys in some of the community health service clinics. We don't have any relationships to disclose. And just going into what background and why we did this, I'm going to go a little backwards because I'm going to talk about women before any pregnancy happens. So I think that this is a nice kind of wrap-up of all the information that you got so far. And so I agree prenatal care has been excellent in improving pregnancy outcomes. I also agree that new technology has been very successful in improving pregnancy outcomes. Still, adverse pregnancy outcomes happen, and still infant mortality rate in the United States is not what we desired it to be. So that's maybe one of the reasons why we are very interested in this topic. I mean, we have this. What else is happening there? You know, such an adverse outcomes in pregnancy can also have consequences in the future. According to Professor Barker's theory of fetal origins of adult disease, these children who are born low birth weight or preterm may be at higher risk of developing chronic diseases such as hypertension, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and obesity during adulthood. So, and those are the leading causes of death in our population. So looking at birth outcomes is really, it goes a long way into the future as well. Also, one-third of the women in our state do not plan their pregnancies, which is in agreement with what happens in the United States, where a large percentage of women do not plan and do have unintended or unplanned pregnancies. And, unintended pregnancies, we all know, kind of leads to late prenatal care and in many cases no prenatal care and adverse birth outcomes. In South Dakota, we found that 70% started early prenatal care in 2010, which means first trimester, okay? And what I want to call your attention is to the fact that when women seek prenatal care, even if it is during the first trimester, we are a little late. That's one of the actually shortcomings of prenatal care. Women who miss the first menstrual period, or women who had a positive pregnancy test, already went through 8 to 12 weeks of pregnancy. And during those weeks is when, you know, the fetus develops more of the organs. And so within that period of time, all factors such as smoking, alcohol, folic acid deficiency, diabetes, uncontrolled diabetes may have a damaging effect on the baby. Despite also significant evidence of the benefits of folic acid, healthy weight before pregnancy, control diabetes, avoid chemical exposures, and avoid tobacco and alcohol use, even when we have all those evidences, and after two decades of recommending and defining what is preconception health care, we actually don't know if women are getting this care or if providers do actually know exactly what to do, or, you know, are they doing that? So, If we look at the definitions of preconception health care, this is actually prevention and health promotion for women of childbearing age. This is primary health care for women. Okay? So I think that we ask ourselves, are all professionals aware of preconception health care and what it should include? Are women actually aware of what it is? Are women actually aware of the importance of their health before they get pregnant? Or the message we got is, you know, early pregnancy check, go early to see the provider once you are pregnant. So I think that this has to do with a lot of awareness and education for women and health providers. Do they know the benefits of those? So our, when we look at previous studies by Frey and others, they found that actually most women were not aware of preconception health care, and also, importantly, many of them were not at all interested in preconception health care. So, you know, why is that? Okay? So our goal was to really gain knowledge about women's awareness and the state's preconception health care provision, and identify some intervention areas and advocate for policies that will support preconception healthcare services for women. So we were pretty optimistic, I guess. Our objectives were three: assess women's preconception healthcare awareness and their level of interest in preconception services. Also identify preconception healthcare services provided to these women, and identify predictors of women preconception healthcare awareness and services. So are there any predictors, any factors that will help us identify women at higher risk of not getting preconception healthcare information or awareness and services? So those were our three objectives. We did a cross-sectional study design. Actually, we implemented a survey on a convenient sample of women. And interesting, we did this survey in 22 community health service clinics across the state of South Dakota. If you are not familiar with South Dakota, we are around 700,000, 800,000 people in South Dakota. I know, but we do live there. It's a very nice, it's excellent, excellent. I don't want to really promote the state so much because all of you are going to have coming there and live there. No. Besides the winters, it's a nice, quiet, safe state with a, you know, really not too much dense population, mostly rural setting, with only two cities in the far west and the east of the state who are considered urban populations. So I'm saying this because we use a convenient sample of women, 18 to 45, attending those 22 community health service clinics across the state. And that was a challenge because the state is quite large. And so we used to have those surveys in WIC clinics. Mostly we had our sample from WIC clinics in those community health service clinics. They do not provide health care. They just provide WIC programs and immunizations. So when women checked in, they were invited to complete a paper and pencil 24-item questionnaire, and we developed this question. We adapted Frey and all questionnaire published in 2006 in their study, and also we based those questions in the CDC recommendations published about preconception health care that were published in 2006. Our response rate was 66%, was pretty good. And our final sample, after we cleaned the data and we entered the whole data, was 1,426 participants. So we chose our dependent variable was women's awareness of preconception health care and services information. The independent variables were demographic and reproductive characteristics of our women. We calculated the chi-square and adjusted odds ratios with a 95% confidence interval to analyze those variables. About our results, more than two-thirds of our participants were 22 and older. They were single, they were white, they were from a low income background, and their education level was high school or lower. Two-thirds of all our women in the sample actually had some kind of health insurance. And most, if you look at the right side of the slide, most have really visited a health provider 12 months prior to the survey. And many of them were really visiting a health provider three or more times during the previous 12 months. Furthermore, 77% of the sample women were not planning to become pregnant anytime soon or did not have any reproductive plans. And one half of our sample actually had a history or had an unplanned pregnancy before they completed the survey. So that was, you know, when I had a poster before, people were saying one half of women in South Dakota, that's true. And that is not so much different from what's going on in the rest of the United States. So overall, one half of our participants, 49.8%, were not aware of what preconception health care was. Okay? And however, when they were asked if being healthy before pregnant, before a pregnancy was really good, was a positive, or had a positive income in pregnancy outcomes, 84% say yes, they agree with that. Now, when we asked them if they were interested in getting preconception healthcare information and services, you know, one third, almost 40% of women said they were not interested. And, you know, those results are similar to Frey and others, and really, you know, kind of suggest a few things we'll talk about later. This table shows you the preconception health care services recommended by the CDC and published in 2006. So we asked participants to recall what preconception health care services information and services they received from providers in the past 12 months, any providers they visited. One half reported they had the blood pressure screen checked. Okay. One third were asked by their providers about reproductive plans, and actually they received contraception information. That was 33.7% of our sample. But if you look at all other recommended assessments, screenings, and information related to preconception health care, those were reported by 25 or less of women in this study. And including recommending folic acid, women recalled that only 16% of our women actually recalled that they were informed or told about folic acid supplementation. Overall, two-thirds of participants received five or fewer preconception health care services as recommended by the CDC. Our next step was doing bivariate analysis, and the bivariate analysis showed that demographic factors were significantly associated with this lack of awareness and information about preconception care. Those demographics were a younger age, having low education, not having health insurance, or being single. Furthermore, another factors or variables that were significantly associated with lack of awareness or information was not having a primary health provider, seeing a physician, and having a history of unintended pregnancy. We did, or we calculated adjusted ratios for predictors of women's lack of awareness and preconception health care information. And the adjusted of ratios showed that having a history of unintended pregnancy, having a lower education, and not having health insurance were significantly associated with lack of awareness and lack of information about preconception health care. Now, you know, when we look at the leading causes of infant mortality rate or infant mortality in the United States, most are associated with adverse birth outcomes, low birth weight, preterm babies, birth defects, okay? And that is what is actually contributing to keeping our infant mortality rate higher. And actually, the U.S. ranks 34 in the world in terms of, we are really behind all other developed countries and some not so developed countries as well. So, you know, and after this session, you can grasp or have a good vision of maybe why are some reasons that is going on. Preconception healthcare was described as early as 1858. Actually, I was surprised about finding this quote from DeWeese in 1958, 19th century, when he said that we should take care of the health of children actually as early as possible, even when they are in utero, and even before that. He actually posited that the care of women before they become pregnant really made a difference. The lifestyles and behavior of women before pregnancy actually had a big impact on the future of their pregnancies. Well, after two decades of recommendations, we find that being aware of receiving preconception health care actually is not always associated with seeing a healthcare professional. And unintended pregnancies that occur half of the time in our sample are associated with late or no prenatal care and worse outcomes. And our results show that actually unintended pregnancy really was a significant factor in not being aware or receiving preconception health care. So that on its own is really very important. Finally, women reported that most women agree that preconception health care had a positive impact and was important for their pregnancy results, but many were not really interested in getting that information. That suggests that women don't really know exactly what it is, are not well informed. They don't know how their lifestyles and behavior can really impact their pregnancies. Now, we did not assess why women, it was beyond the scope of our study, why women were not interested. We also did not assess the attitudes and practices of their health providers. That was not within the scope of our survey. Now, if we look at other findings from other researchers, our findings follow what other researchers have reported before, actually. Sexually active women who are not planning to become pregnant may not perceive that they are at risk. Thus, all our unintended pregnancies may be. You know, they are sexually active, but they actually do not perceive that they are at risk. Furthermore, for women, pregnancy, you know, might be a really normal event. It's not a disease. Okay, so they don't think that we need to do too much about it in order to get pregnant. Okay, so they don't know that. And they are not aware of prior interventions that may improve their health outcomes. Or they may not have a primary health provider, or the primary health provider might not know or be well informed about preconception health care. Other researchers have also reported that women did not receive clear and timely information about folic acid supplementation. Women have said we don't have exactly how much we have to take or when. Okay? And women also wanted to have more information about prescription drugs when they are prescribed to them, not, you know, about pregnancy. So if they are prescribed a drug, how will that affect a pregnancy, even when I'm not trying to get pregnant right now, okay? What is interesting also, some studies also reported that providers ordered folic acid supplementation in only 7.2% of visits with childbearing age women, okay? There are some other studies limitations. We use self-reported survey data. Participant demographics are important as well. Most of our minority population are American Indian population, and we do have 29% of participants who are American Indian population, and we are going to analyze the data for future presentations. We did not look at the barriers to access or providers' knowledge of attitudes, and we definitely did not look at other variables as preconception healthcare, such as emotional health or sexual or physical abuse, anxiety, depression. We only look at the CDC's recommendations. In summary, there is a gap between what women perceive as important for their pregnancy outcomes and preconception healthcare awareness and actual services they receive. We were able to identify predictors that can be modified to improve actually preconception healthcare services. When women are seeing providers, and this is, you know, this represents a good opportunity not to miss to really do preconception healthcare. Posner and all and others have observed that there is not enough evidence to support preconception healthcare or policies. And, you know, we agree, it is true that there are no studies that look at all these services together as an intervention, but there is enough evidence into each one of those interventions individually that really have a good impact in pregnancy outcomes. So, finally, I think that these results will encourage all of us to focus on increasing preconception healthcare awareness among women, among the public in general, and health providers, and that these findings will promote further research to try interventions to increase preconception healthcare awareness, as well as to advocate for policies that makes preconception healthcare actually part of primary healthcare for childbearing age women. Thank you so much for your attention.